favorite from the monkey's first season on TV. Learning to sing and play at the same time. After this on The Monkey Story. I'm a teaser. KZZP 104.7 FM. Thanks to the power of television, the monkeys were an overnight sensation. But as Mickey explains, that posed a few problems.
I sang most of the hit songs by default. There wasn't anybody else. You know, David had a very distinct kind of Broadway ballad sound. Peter had a very folk sound, which at the time wasn't what the producers perceived to be mainstream commercial. Mike had a very country western rock sound, which again was not considered at the time to be very pop. So I'm the one that got stuck, as it were, with singing, you know, all those screaming, you know, kind of leads.
Here's one Mickey sang. Written by Neil Diamond, it became a number one hit for 7 weeks. I'm a Believer.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales. And for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind.
Book of who's I said, I'm not just
Stepping Stone, the flip side of I'm a Believer, and a top 20 hit in its own right from early 1967. Around that time, the Monkees played their first live concert in Hawaii, but that meant they couldn't fake playing their instruments the way they did on television. Mickey recalls,
"The producers hired us as personalities rather than acting in the classic sense. So I was playing kind of a caricature of Mickey, as it were. And then we started recording. Peter and Mike played on the sessions right from day one. But I had to learn the drums. I played guitar, actually, but they said they had enough guitar players, so I had to learn the drums. But in all respect, it's not brain surgery. I did learn and eventually started playing on the records. And then when the records started hitting, everybody said, holy moly, we're gonna go on the road. And we started rehearsing, solid, for months. And our first tour was 200 concerts with Jimi Hendrix opening for us. And we played every note of music. I mean, it was, and essentially it was a three-piece group because David played percussion and sang. I played drums, Mike on guitar, Peter on bass, and occasionally keyboards. And we did it all ourselves.
Here's a song from the second Monkees album featuring a Glen Campbell guitar solo, Mary Mary.
Mary Mary, where are you going to?
Takes a stand when we return to the Monkey story.
I don't know how to break this to you, but wine coolers are very high in calories. All but one, that is. New Dewey Steve.
The early Monkees were a triumph of packaging, but Davey remembers that caused resentment in the band.
It wasn't until Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork started wanting to get involved. Actually, it wasn't until the second album, when we were on the road doing a 36-city tour in 38 days, that they came with us and presented a package with the picture on it and with all these sort of clothes on it, and the shoes that they'd promoted, and the belts they'd promoted, and the hairdos they'd promoted, and the whole thing, and said, this is your second album. And Matt said, I'm not going to have that as my second album, whatever he said, I can't repeat it. And Peter said, yeah, well, you shouldn't have done that, because originally we made loads of tunes that were supposed to be in the show, just the show, not on record, but then they had hits. And instead of putting new tunes in every show, they started singing in I'm a Believer, or Daydream Believer, or Last Train to Clarksville. They used that over and over and over, and they found out that this was a great way of selling the records.
Here's another Neil Diamond tune that hit number two in the spring of 1967. A little bit you, a little bit me.
Walk on. No, don't you walk on.
Somewhere. a Mike Nesmith composition from 1967. How did Peter feel about the battle for musical control?
I thought that I was going to have a much greater say in the making of the original records. I look back on it now, and it's just the way it obviously had to be, because, you know, we were not a professional record-making operation. And the Beatles took, 8 years to make their first album, and then they put out another one, and by the time they had their fourth or fifth album out, they were old hands at making records. We didn't have any of that experience. But we did have Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, who were old hands at making records. And they made the records for us, and we sang over them. It makes a lot of sense to me now. There wasn't any time for us to learn how to become a band at that point. We later on did take the time to learn how to become a band of our own and to play as well as we could on our own record, which was Headquarters primarily. And so, in due course, we got what we wanted. But at the time, yeah, I was real disappointed.
Peter sang this one on the Headquarters album. It's called Shades of Grey.
When the world and I were young, just yesterday, life was such a simple game a child could play. It was easy then to tell right from wrong, easy then to tell weak from strong.
Songwriting team of Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, the same people who came up with tunes like Kicks and We Gotta Get Out of This Place. Peter tells us why Father didn't know best after this on The Monkey Story.
Has your mouth made any good decisions lately? Give it the Certs challenge, why don't you? One taste and it'll tell you that...
KZZP 104.7 FM.
As the Monkees gained confidence as musicians, they wanted to stretch their image a little. But Mickey remembers that wasn't easy.
There was a certain sound that everybody perceived to be commercial and pop. It didn't happen to be the sound that Mike and Peter were into, and so that created a bit of a conflict. And eventually, when we all started getting into the music deeply and getting very involved, we said, listen, this is the Monkee sound, you know, really, because we are the Monkees. And if you want it to be genuine and you want the fans to respect it and you want us to... to be happy and comfortable, then we've got to do it this way, right? And who knows? I don't know. I mean, I often wonder what would have happened if we'd have just gone along and done everything they said, or if we'd have held out earlier or longer. Who knows?
Mickey wrote this song, which was a big hit in England, but not in the U.S. It's titled Randy Scoose Git.
She's a wonderful lady and she's mine, all mine. And there doesn't seem a way that she won't come and lose my mind. It's too easy humming songs to a girl in yellow dress. It's been a long time since the party and the room is in a mess. The four kings of EMI are sitting stately on the floor. There are birds out on the sidewalk and a ballet at the door. He reminds me of a penguin with few and plaster hair. His talcum powder on the letter and the birthday boy is there. Why don't you cut your hair? Why don't you live up there? Why don't you do what I do? See what I feel when I care? Now they've darkened all the windows and the seats in Naugahyde. I've been waiting for an hour and I can't find a place to hide. The being known as Wonder Girl is speaking, I believe. It's not easy trying to tell her that I shortly have to leave. Why don't you be like me? Why don't you stop and see? Why don't you hate who I hate? Kill who I kill to be free.
Peter co-wrote for Headquarters. It became the closing theme of the Monkees TV show during their second season. Peter has an interesting theory about the show's success.
The Monkees were, I think, the first TV situation comedy not to have a father figure. And if that's why the Monkees were the most popular thing, that's interesting. I like that notion. I think that it speaks to an age when our adult states, our own adult states, are taking over. We don't have to be a parent to our own child. We can be adults. I think that that's what the 60s were all about, was an effort to break loose of a lot of old forms in a rather radical way. And I think that's why the Monkees were popular then. Now, why we are popular, or the Monkees TV show is popular now, I don't know whether the American public wants that parentless, romping kind of a notion again.
The local rock group down the street is trying hard to learn their song. Serenade, the weekend squire just came out to mow his lawn. Another Pleasant Valley Sunday.
From the summer of 67, Pleasant Valley Sunday. That came from another great songwriting duo, Jerry Goffin and Carole King. Apparently, not everything was always pleasant inside the group. Davey has the dirt when the Monkees story continues.
This green lawn stretching out as far as the eye can see.